Hey, what's up, Toby? We've made it to Process Dead podcast number 22. I mean, awesome. 26 is half a year.
We're closing in. Let's bring it home.
We're going to get there. And by the end of the year, we might have, you know, by year in, we might have hundreds of listeners.
Oh, hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yeah, I recently noticed we're surging in the metropolitan area surrounding Dubuque, Iowa.
Oh. It's, you know, the analytics in this thing. We're not making any money. We've got no sponsors. I will let you know that we did tell Fabletics that they did a poor job. So
yes,
that sponsorship opportunity is out because we burned that.
If they were in a pay per click, boy, they'd have to click the hell out of it to recoup the money I lost to those jackholes.
That's crazy.
Just for the listeners out there nervous about their children. So
there you go.
Anyway, hey, what are we talking about today, Chris?
Today's topic is delegation without accountability.
Whoa, that never happens. Is this another fictional thing like birthdays and
we want it to as we get older. We want birthdays to be fictional. We want to be like, oh man, when I was 18.
I'm ready to Benjamin Buttons, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk all to right. me about, yeah, what brought this to mind? This idea of delegation without accountability. I love
there's
it.
There's a couple things like, so I've been listening to Stolen Focus, which is a book on, you know, basically how we become more distracted. And
squirrel.
I know. where that kind of led was like my last, you know, as you have managers, they end up being super busy.
Sure.
It's the nature of the business. It's hard to delineate what's the most important versus what is the, you know, the trivial. That's a really hard problem. And I think it's actually shocking to me as I've gotten further along in my career, where when I was young, I was confident and probably wrong in what was important.
Maybe.
And as I've gotten older, I feel like you end up getting these like superpowers of like, that thing's important. That thing's not important. This thing's politically important. That thing is, you know, makes zero sense, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like, sure. I think the clarification of that is cleaner, but it just made me think about how often I've been in meetings where action items are given and they're given at random in a meeting and you squirrel on three different topics.
Yeah.
And then it almost feels like the one that you don't do or you forget about is the one that gets brought up later. And so it's just really interesting when we're just so busy with so many things coming at us and you go through a task and you're like, did I have 10 action items or was there one big one? Like, it's not clear.
Yeah. And it's just peanut buttered, right? The context week to week happens in a 1 hour meeting, zip around the room, give an update. And then it's like, pow, pow, pow. A whole bunch of ideas get spit out.
Yeah.
I don't know which one belongs to you or what the outcome is.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. I hear that. You know, our friend Dylan years ago, we were roommates in college back in the last century. And,
the 90s.
Yeah. Back in the day. And he was a history major, and I remember him making the comment to the effect that, you know, that it's only the winners that write the history. And and what's so true in a corporate environment is that the person that takes notes and distributes them is shaping the history.
Yeah.
And so as a self-defense mechanism, you know, you walk into those meetings and you're like, nobody asked me to take notes. And then you walk away and nobody took any notes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when I started taking notes because it's very issue, right? And so what I discovered, Chris, and our listeners can borrow this if they want, is that if I take the notes, as long as I don't just immediately assign the action items, I can raise my hand at 5 to 10 minutes before the end of the meeting and say, hey, I've got some action items. Can we run those down and I'll send out my meeting notes? What a great way to unofficially delegate.
Yeah.
But the trade-off is that I can ask for people to grab them, but what we all are looking for is some leadership and somebody to manage that delegation process. You know, mine, my approach is very collaborative and consulting world. It works well, right?
Yep.
But yeah, that's something that we're asking managers to do. But so often it seems like we give them a full-time task load as an individual contributor too.
So, well, and then like what's hard is like, I being on the opposite side, you're the manager, right? You're giving stuff down. Like it takes a lot of cognitive load to figure out all the things that you think or thought or was supposed to be delegated.
Yeah. Well, you've managed teams locally and abroad in different roles. Have you struck on a way to give them the delegation, but also get clear about the accountability that you expect them to have?
I really wish that I could be like, oh man, I could do this and that and the other thing. And what I run into is everyone has their bespoke way of doing things and there's no central repository.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that's the solution, but it takes a lot of effort and it takes basically a discipline and a realization that we're wasting time and wasting people's time and wasting a lot of people's time.
Yeah.
By not just simply slowing down and saying, I need you to do this.
Yeah. Chris, I love that. If you're in more than 4 hours of meetings a day, I mean, not just you and you listener.
Yeah. Yeah.
It begs that question of, what is all your life energy getting spent on?
Yeah.
Right. And is that paycheck an adequate distraction? Sometimes the workplace feels like detention. I feel like I should be writing sentences,
Yeah. You're like, I just called to the principal's office and I don't know why I'm here. You're like, why I'm here. You're like, my PowerPoint was bad. Like,
just spank me and send me home. Don't make my mom come pick me up. But
one of the things that I did listen to a podcast, 99% Invisible. There's a book called Power Broker, which is probably my favorite book of all times.
Yeah.
But they basically were going through it the entire year. And this book is 1,000 pages long. Like it is a tome. And they were doing interviews with different people and they interviewed this politician. And this politician said, one of the things that this person had learned in politics was you can basically only do about 6 things a year.
Mm.
And that was actually really, really helpful for me professionally because you can't doing more than that. You're going to burn out or you're going to get frustrated because you just don't have that many swings at the bat. And so like, I've started thinking about like, okay, like, well, let's say every 2 months I can do one thing, right? Well, what does that mean for a week?
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, okay, if I could do one or maybe two things that were really productive, like, would I be able to get like that kind of that process flow wheel flying, flywheel flying?
Yeah. I think so often we come out of that meeting, right? Hey, Toby, can you look at, it comes down to even the language.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, could you look into, can you follow up on, but yeah, depending on how it's framed, it's poorly defined. Yeah. And sometimes a 3-minute thing is presented the same way as a 3-year thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, for sure. What happens when a team or a manager says, we've got a team of 5. That means theoretically 6 things a piece. We're going to be able to accomplish 30 things this year. What are the most important 30 things?
Yeah.
I think
we're addicted to reacting.
Yeah. I think so too.
And so even everybody, right? Whether it's a manager or it's like, okay, my boss asked me to do this thing. I've got to go do the thing as you should, right? That's not a bad thing. But I think that addiction to reacting, we spend, like, I would be embarrassed to just think about how much time I waste by reacting and not just slowing down and saying, okay, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why is this important? Right? Like, and then the other thing that's hard is like, as you with direct reports, like there's always going to be this push and pull. And like, how much do you trust versus not trust? And that's always going to be a balancing game. But it's like the truly like slowing down and being like, okay, is this something we really want to do? I don't think we think about that much in business. I think it's, you know, like even in this, you know, the book, Stolen Focus, it said most CEOs have about 28 minutes a day of focus time.
What are they wasting all that time on?
I don't know. Meetings. You got to have your meetings.
Well, and these are guys, you know, if we look at the headlines, where organizations are paying them tens of millions of dollars, certainly ones of millions of dollars in those organizations, right? Our highest paid people, and we give them the least amount of focus time.
Yeah.
That's staggering. So it's no wonder they're trying to just manage quarter to quarter. It's probably all the further they can see in 28 minutes a day.
Yeah. And like, how are you tying stuff together? How can you go deep in any part of your business if you just have less than a half an hour of focus?
Yeah, that's incredible. I think, you know, there was a whole series of time management books and philosophies, the getting things done, and then the Pomodoro effect.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
For right or wrong, I always picture a tomato. Little timekeeper, isn't that what
totally
it is?
Yeah.
And but that idea of what happens if you block out 2 hours a day, you know,
yeah.
I've tried it, I've done it, I've enjoyed it at different times.
Yeah.
About a 90-minute chunk of flow is about all the further I can get. But we also have to both ask for it, but also push back when people are pushing into it.
Well, and what's funny is like you say that like an hour and a half, and I'm like, I almost get like this, like, this nervous feeling of like, could I really do that?
Yeah.
One, get away with it. And like, would the work that was produced be appreciated? Right. You know what I mean? Like it's just a weird thing. And that where in all of human history has it been like, man, I can't do an hour and a half. Like, I mean, you know, go back 200 years and you're chopping a tree down. You're like, that took half a day, you know, like, and that was just to get it to fall down, you know, then you got to go cut the thing. Like, or these projects would take forever. And today it's like, man, my next meeting's and, you know, I'm back to back to back to back. And by the time you get to that fourth or fifth meeting, you're like, I don't even know what happened in the other ones.
No.
And we're hoping for this collective community to support us. And you hope that you just haven't pissed anyone off politically or you're toast. Yeah.
You know, the thing I'm taking away from this as we talk about it is whether you have 5 minutes or an hour and a half, or you have a week to chop down a tree, understanding what the expected accountability is probably the right question.
Oh yeah, for sure.
When somebody throws it, the single best point in time for us to get on top of that is ask, what is it that you're looking for from me?
Yeah.
And is this something you want me to head up or something you want me to do?
Yeah.
Scope, schedule, budget, right? Turn an ask into some kind of smart goal.
Yep.
Right? That's specific and measurable, and you have some time bound elements, because then you know whether or not you can consume it. Do I need to block an hour and a half? Do I need to block a year?
Yeah. What's interesting is like just that simple question.
Yeah.
That simple question of being like, what is the size of this that your ask is, I think would save people an exorbitant amount of time, because most of us, I think, are running around like with that, you know, that primal fear in our jobs, right? Where it's like, they could let us go, right? And so the boss asks for something and instantly you think, well, that's going to take 3 months because I got to do all the things and I got to go talk to the people. And they're like, no, you already did you go and talk to your boss, and your boss is like, no, you already did the thing. I just need you to share the thing and put the thing over on this thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I could do that in 15 minutes.
Right.
And it's, and totally, you know, you spend four hours freaking out.
Instead, you could spend that 4 hours playing hooky or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Deep work. You could do deep work.
Deep work. This is a good one. We might have to put this behind the paywall.
Oh, well.
What do you think, listeners? Let us know.
There you go. Love it. All right. We'll catch up next week, man.
All right. See you next week, buddy.
All right.